Well, how's everyone doing this morning? Praise God. Isn't it great to be saved and great to be living in some really exciting times? You know, when you see what's going on around the world in our own backyard in Israel. You know, I go to Israel 3 or 4 times a year, and I know what the deal is out there. I know what's going on out there. I talk with Jews. I talk with Israelis out there. I share the gospel with them. Amen. I put a Bible in their hands, and we just did that this past October, and we'll be back in the Holy Land in March 2018, Lord willing, amen, and so continue to pray for us as we minister to the Jewish people out there, and then of course, you know, we teach Bible prophecy on location out there. We shoot video, we upload it to YouTube. You have an opportunity to check out the videos that we do out there in Israel as we teach Bible prophecy on location. And of course, what I do as a Bible prophecy teacher is I look at the geopolitical activities. Now, what do you mean by geopolitical activities? Well, the politics that's going on in the world, the politics in Israel, politics here in America, the politics of the European Union, the politics of the nations of the world. And as one prophecy preacher would say, we cover the political because the political is setting the stage for the prophetic to be fulfilled. This is the reason why the Lord moved me to write this brand new book called Bible Eschatology, fresh off the press, looking at geopolitical events in light of biblical prophecy. And so that's exactly what I do in this book. We look at the geopolitical activities, and then I give a plain sense interpretation of Bible prophecy on those geopolitical events. So you might want to get a copy of this book. We have a bunch of them there on the table. What does eschatology mean? What do I mean by Bible eschatology? Eschatology is just a fancy theological word that simply means the study of last things, the study of the end times, the study of Bible prophecy. I'm convinced we're living in the last days. Are you with me on that? I'm convinced we're living in the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years, since the birth of Christ 2,000 years ago. Say, okay, well, what's the big deal then if we've been in the last days for 2,000 years? Is it getting any better out there? It's only going to get worse, folks. Right. And it's going to intensify. And it's going to get worse and worse. Or as a friend of mine in North Carolina would say, it's going to get worse and worse. It's bad English, I know, but it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. But the worse it gets out there, the brighter it's becoming for you and I as born-again believers. Because Jesus said that when you see prophecy unfolding in its early stages, he says, I'm about to blast off. You're about to blast off, actually. He says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, he says, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's Luke 21:28. Jesus did not tell you and I, when prophecy is completely fulfilled, I'm coming back. No, he says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, prophecy unfolding in its early stages, he says, I am about to return for my bride. I'm still holding hope that he will return in 2017.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? The close out the last day of 2017, boom, the trumpet sounds, a rapture takes place, we're out of here. Amen. But if he tarries for the last day of 2017, then we as the church will wait for him in 2018. I'm praying for God to do great and mighty things. If the Lord tarries in 2017, I'm looking for God to do great things in 2018. Amen. Through our ministry, Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, through Wood River Baptist Church, amen?
Amen.
For God to do mighty things for the new year of 2018. To see more souls come into faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. Jew and Gentile, amen? You know, I just don't go soul winning when I'm over there in Israel. I want to go soul winning when I'm here in America at home. Amen. I want to see Jew and Gentile come to faith in Christ as personal Savior. So we are living in the last days. But when the rapture takes place, the last days will then turn to the end times. What are the end times? A future 7-year period of tribulation that we call Daniel's 70th week of prophecy. Daniel 9, 24 through 27 will commence upon this world. And this 70th week of Daniel's prophecy has nothing to do with Christians. It has nothing to do with the church. Why? Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7 calls it a time of Jacob's trouble. Who's Jacob? Genesis 32:28. Israel. It's a time of Israel's trouble. Daniel 9:24 tells us 70 weeks or a final 7-year period are determined upon thy people. Who's he talking about? Jews or Christians?
Jews.
Jews. Thy people and upon thy holy city. I know he's not talking about Washington, D.C. Amen?
Right.
He's talking about what city?
Jerusalem.
The very city that President Donald Trump recognized as the capital of the state of Israel.
Amen.
Hey, folks, that was 3,000 years coming. That we finally have a U.S. president that recognized Jerusalem as the eternal and undivided capital of the Jewish state of Israel. And the Arab world is fuming as I speak. The Arab world is foaming at the mouth because of what President Donald Trump did. I was really disturbed by the Palestinian Authority and their cartoon depicting Jesus with a whip in his hand. And he's whipping President Donald Trump as Trump is fleeing from Jesus. Like this. And the caption on that read, supposedly Jesus speaking, Jerusalem is not yours to give away to anybody. Well, let me correct that statement. President Trump did not give Jerusalem away to anybody.
Right.
He just recognized a 3,000-year-old fact. That Jerusalem has always been the capital of the Jewish people.
Amen.
Proof in the pudding is in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. And all you got to do is go to 2 Samuel chapter number 5 and see King David as he takes Jerusalem from the Jebusites, who was a Canaanite faction at that time. He takes Jerusalem from the Jebusites and makes Jerusalem his very capital. And Jerusalem has been the capital of the Jewish people for over 3,000 years, and nobody's going to change that fact. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, whether you like it or not. Because God made it clear in 2 Chronicles 6:6, I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there forever. And God's name will be there forever. And yet Jesus in Matthew 5:35 refers to Jerusalem as the city of the great king. You know why he calls it the city of the great king? Because one day the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will reign from that very city. He will one day reestablish David's throne in that city in the future. Isaiah 9:7, Luke 1:32 and 33. He's going to sit on that very throne in the city of Jerusalem. He's going to erect a millennial temple, a fourth temple in that very city. The temple described by Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46, covering 202 detailed verses. He's going to erect that temple, reestablish David's throne, and he's going to reign from that temple on David's throne in Jerusalem. And Ezekiel 5:5 tells us Jerusalem will be the capital of planet Earth at that time. And Israel will be the head of the nations and not the tail of the nations, as she is right now. Because the United Nothing, and that's exactly who they are, the United Nations uses Israel as nothing more than a punching bag.
Right.
They'll ignore all the other human rights violations going on in the world, in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, and North Korea for that matter, and other rogue terrorist states, but yet we'll pick on little Israel. No bigger than the state of New Jersey. The only democracy in the Middle East, the only true ally of the United States of America in the Middle East that fights terrorism on a daily basis, the UN has nothing better to do than to use Israel as a punching bag. And now they just came out with this vote at the UN that we are going to take a vote to see whether we recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and we know how that vote went. They shot it down, but is it binding? No. Is it legally binding? No. Donald Trump did what he did. And that's set in stone, brother. Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the state of Israel.
Amen.
this could possibly down the road, I'm not being dogmatic, but I'm just saying, possibly down the road, trigger the events of Ezekiel 38, 39, Psalm 83, Daniel 11, 40 through 45. I'm going to talk about that this morning as we look at the geopolitical activities at 11 a.m. and how these geopolitical activities are setting the stage for the prophetic to be fulfilled. Ezekiel 38, 39 talks about a Russian-led Arab coalition of nations to come up against Israel. And what kicks that all off? It's the fight over Jerusalem. Zechariah talks about that in 12 chapters, mentions Jerusalem 41 times in just 12 chapters. The battle is for Jerusalem, 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 Jerusalem. It's repetitious throughout that book. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I'll fight all nations that come up against Jerusalem. All nations come up to Jerusalem for battle. It's all about Jerusalem. Just as it is right now, it's all about Jerusalem. So Ezekiel 38, 39. A Russian-led Arab coalition of nations that come up against Israel. You know who's the sugar daddy of the Middle East and the Arab world? Russia. And their president, Vladimir Putin, who I wouldn't even be surprised, not being dogmatic, but would not even be surprised if he's the Gog, G-O-G, spoken of in Ezekiel, who comes out of the land of Magog. Where's Magog located? We'll talk about that during the next service. Then Psalm 83, an Arab confederacy of nations to attack the state of Israel. And all those nations that are in Psalm 83, we can identify clearly today. And then Daniel 11, 40 through 45. Parallel with Ezekiel 38, 39 of an Arab attack upon the state of Israel. And you look at what's being said by these Arab leaders today, it's not good, folks. They say, Trump crossed a red line, and we are going to respond. We need to take back Jerusalem. That has eschatology, ladies and gentlemen, written all over it. Amen? So hold on to your seats for 11 a.m. as we look at the geopolitical situation in Israel, Syria, Iran, Russia, the European Union. We believe the European Union to be the embryo, or at least the infrastructure, for the future revived Roman Empire. I believe those guys fit the bill. Daniel talks about these guys. John in Revelation talks about these guys. We'll talk about that during the next service. But I want you to take your... Before we begin, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 1, but we just got these in from Israel, from the Holy Land. If you've never been to Israel, take a piece of Israel back home with you. What I'm holding in my hand is a genuine 2,000-year-old widow's mite. These are not replicas, folks. These are the... I'm not going to sell you a replica. I want you to have the real deal. The widow mite story in Luke 21 and verse number 2. This widow mite coin comes in a transparent. You can take the coin out. There's a coin. You can see the coin right there. You can take the coin out. And it has a certificate of authenticity right there. And when you open the flap, has the story, the biblical story of the widow's mite. We have these coins available on our table. So if you want to see me after the service, between Sunday school and the next service, check out these coins. I'll autograph my book personally to you, Bible Eschatology. And I hope and pray that they will be a blessing to you. Galatians chapter number 1. We're going to look at just a couple of verses. You're very familiar with this, with these verses. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Since we are living in the last days, I believe as the last days continue to intensify, we're going to continue to see the dark doctrines of demons. We see dark doctrine of demons being propagated by the cults, whether they're Mormons or JW, Scientology, some very dangerous cults out there today that are teaching damnable heresies, damnable doctrines, amen? And even in the church, by and large today, there's a lot of false doctrine even being propagated in the church. I've read this one Times of Israel story that I'm going to share with you in just a few moments that really disgusted me. What one religious cult is doing today is absolutely despicable. Look with me in Galatians, and it's one of the last day scenarios. that shows that Jesus is coming soon. Galatians 1, notice with me in verses 8 and 9, Paul the Apostle speaking here. He says, but though we, notice he includes himself in there, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? That's a strong word right there, folks. Let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, what does he say again? Let him be accursed. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be back here at Wood River Baptist Church, and thank you for the friendship and fellowship of Brother John Juno and all of our brethren here at Wood River. I continue to pray, dear God, that you would bless this church and this ministry, Lord, to be a light, Lord, to the people of Wyoming and the surrounding areas, Lord, as they continue, Lord, to preach the gospel and see precious souls saved in these final hours in which we live. And I believe, Lord, as Bible-believing Christians in these last days, that we need to be, Lord, astute students of the Word of God, because we can easily be carried away by every wind of doctrine that is out there today, whether it's by those on TV or on radio, dear Lord. We need to have our biblical ears on. We need to have our spiritual ears on, Lord. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in the Bible every single day to get that good doctrine into us, dear Lord, so that we would be able, Lord, in these last days to differentiate between what is biblical doctrine and what is false doctrine. And so, Father, I pray that you would be glorified during the Sunday school hour. If there's someone here this morning that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, because tomorrow, Lord, could be too late. So, Father, be glorified and pray that your will be done now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Paul the Apostle warned the church at Galatia. He's writing to the church at Galatia about false gospels, about false doctrines being propagated by false teachers, false religious cults, if you will. And we know that the church at Galatia had to deal with unbelieving Judaizers who were trying to get those Christians in Galatia to go back to the Mosaic law, saying you can't be saved unless you have become circumcised. You can't be saved unless you eat kosher. In other words, stay away from the pork and stay away from anything that is non-kosher, or kashrut, as they say in Hebrew. You can't get saved unless you do this type of good work. You can't get saved unless you do that type of good work. This is what the church at Galatia was dealing with. And these Judaizers were even converting some of these Galatians. And then Paul had to write to the church, and he says in Galatians 3:1, who hath bewitched you? Remember that phrase he uses in Galatians? Who hath bewitched you that you should turn from the truth? Paul warns about the preaching of another gospel, whether it came from the apostle himself, an angel, or anyone else for that matter. Preaching another gospel that differs from the biblical gospel, Paul said that person is to be what?
Accursed.
Another word for accursed would be anathema. That's a very, very, that's strong language back in biblical times, folks. Anybody propagating a different gospel than the gospel that you have in the Word of God, that person, Paul says, is to be anathema. They are accursed. So if someone is preaching error that is foreign from Scripture, the Bible says they are to be accursed. And that is to be, in a nutshell, eternally condemned. Their doctrine is a curse. And they are a curse as well as those who follow them. They're converts, if you will. I remember when we were in Israel, a Messianic Jewish friend of mine who was out there with me sharing the gospel with the Jewish people, he said, August, you know something? He goes, I was once a member of the Church of Scientology. That's a very dangerous cult right there, man. Very dangerous. He, you know, John Travolta is a member of Scientology. Who's the other movie star there? I'm sorry?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is also a member of the church of Scientology. You might know other movie stars that were members of, who are right now current members of Scientology. One particular movie star, and she's on that, Kevin Can Wait or something like that. I can't remember her name. And, you know, the guy that works for the UPS in Brooklyn, New York,
Leah Remini.
Is it, what is it?
Leah
Remini. I think that's her. Yeah, absolutely, brother. Thank you. You got a good memory there. I wish I had that kind of memory, man. But anyway, she was involved in Scientology. Now, she's out there speaking against the dangers of Scientology, and they're trying to shut her up. And if they had their way, they'll take her out. Because that's the type of people that they are. Anyway, when I was talking with my Messianic brother in the Lord, he said, August, I was a member of the Church of Scientology for nearly 20 years. He said, I did everything they wanted me to do. Whenever they said jump, I always had to say how high. He said, but when I started reading my Bible, is when things just weren't clicking here. Then I began to question the Church of Scientology. You know what they did to me, August? They locked me up in a closet for 1 week. I said, well, wait a minute, that, wouldn't that be illegal? He says, yeah, but I was terrified. There was nothing I can do about it. They threatened my family. They threatened me. They locked me up in a closet for 1 week. And then after that week was up, you have anything else you want to say negative about Scientology? I said, no. But the moment they let me out, he said, I escaped out of there with my life. They're very dangerous individuals. He said, but about 2 months ago, after breaking away from those guys for years, 2 months ago, they found my address. They got my phone number. How they did that, I had no idea. Trying to get me to go back to Scientology. The people of the church, so-called, of Scientology, have damnable doctrines. They are teaching a foreign gospel that's foreign from the Word of God. And it's people like that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be careful of. Their doctrine is a curse. The other time we find this word, a curse, is in 1 Corinthians 16:22. Let's quickly go over there for a moment. And keep your finger in Galatians. But go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 22, where Paul tells us, if any man love not our Lord Jesus, notice what that individual is. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 22. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Notice what Paul says. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be what? Anathema. And what is anathema? The same word you find in Galatians chapter 1 verses 8 and 9. Let that individual be accursed. If any man hate our Lord Jesus Christ, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, if any man reject the inspiration, the infallibility of the Word of God, Paul says, let that person be anathema. Let that person be accursed. But notice the last word next to anathema, and Gail just greeted me with this word this morning. What's that last word you see next to anathema? You know what Maranatha means? Maranatha simply means, it's an Aramaic expression, a beautiful Aramaic expression. Our Lord come. That was the first century greeting among the early believers. You know, 2,000 years ago, if I saw Brother John, I would call him Yohanan, his Hebrew name, Yohanan, John. And I would see Yohanan walking down the street and I'd say, ah, shalom, Yohanan, Maranatha. And Yohanan would look back at me and he'd say, ah, Brother August. There's no Hebrew word for August, it's just August. Oh, August, Maranatha, our Lord, come. And isn't it fitting to close out the canon of Scripture with the very last phrase out of Revelation 22:21? He which testifies of these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come. Maranatha, Lord Jesus. So Paul says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. And then he ends off with the word Maranatha. Paul was expecting the Lord to come in his day. What Paul is saying is that all false doctrine is anathema. Any doctrine that differs from this book, ladies and gentlemen, is anathema. to deny Jesus' deity, that he was God Almighty in the flesh, the creator of heaven and earth. I believe that. Amen. Jesus is God. Amen. The creator of heaven and earth, God Almighty in human form, 2,000 years ago. To deny that is anathema. To deny his efficacious work on the cross for the sins of all mankind, to deny that is anathema. And even to deny that Jesus is coming again is anathema. I got a magazine in the mail a couple of days ago from the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. The very front title of that magazine said this. You ready? Whatever happened to the doctrine of the rapture? Think about that one for a moment. Whatever happened to the doctrine of the rapture? Brother, we're going to 10:45, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Whatever happened to the doctrine of the rapture? Because we're just not teaching it anymore. And yet you got Christians who are now denying the doctrine of the rapture. Well, I don't find the word rapture in the Bible, so I'm not going to believe in such a doctrine. Do you believe in the Bible? Of course I do. Well, where do you find Bible in the Bible? You believe in the Trinity? Of course I do. Well, where do you find Trinity in the Bible? You believe in demons? Of course I do. But where do you find demons in the Bible? All because an English word doesn't appear in the scriptures does not mean the doctrine is not there. Sure. Of course the doctrine is there. So where do we get the word? Okay, another word. Millennium. Well, I don't find the word millennium in the Bible. I'm not going to believe in the millennium. Listen, if you've only do your homework on this, you wouldn't ask such questions. Why do I use the word millennium to describe the future reign of Jesus Christ on this earth from the city of Jerusalem on David's throne? We use the word millennium because it comes from that phrase we find in Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, 1,000 years. Take that phrase, 1,000 years, divide it into two Latin words. Malay, 1,000, anum, years. So when you combine 1,000 years, what do you get? Millennium. That's the same thing with the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain, caught up. Now that word caught up in the Greek is harpazo, where we get the English word harpoon, which if you harpoon something, what do? You reel it in. Moby Dick, you know, you harpoon a whale, what do? You reel the whale in. One day the church is going to be harpooned and reeled up into heaven. But when Jerome in Bethlehem translated the Latin Vulgate translation of the scriptures, when he came to verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4, he used that word caught up. Know what word he used for caught up in the Latin? Rapturo. That's where we get the English word rapture, which simply means to seize or snatch away. And that's exactly what the rapture is all about, to seize or to snatch away. If we only do our homework on the background of why we use these words, we wouldn't ask such questions in the church today. That's why we got to do our homework, amen? 2 Timothy 2:15. Remember that? Did I use that dirty word here last time, brother? You remember me again? Did I use that filthy word? Did I offend you when I used that filthy word? No, you are right with that dirty word I use? I know there's young kids in here, so I'll use that filthy, dirty word again. And here is that filthy, nasty, dirty word. Study! That's a dirty word in Christianity today. Because we just never have time to study God's word anymore. And then, when the cults come knocking on your door, they can turn you into a theological pretzel in 5 minutes flat. Yeah. Or we'll just slam the door on their face. Oh, no, I got nothing to say to you people. Why? Because we don't know the scriptures. We don't know how to confront such individuals when they come knocking on our door with their heresy, with their accursed doctrine. That's why Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, quickly, Galatians 1:9. Paul reiterates again, ladies and gentlemen, in Galatians 1:9, he wants his hearers, you and I, to listen very carefully as to how important this subject is to the apostle, how it should be important to you. And I. Why? Souls are at stake. People are dying and going to hell. every single day. Isaiah 5:14 says hell enlarges itself every single day to receive her inhabitants. Souls are at stake. People are following false teachers. They are everywhere, and yes, even in the church. They're in the church. They're outside the church. You see them on social media. You wouldn't believe the crazy mail Brother August Rosado gets from people all over the United States that I don't even know from a hole in the wall. I mean, I'll get these postcards in the mail about this. God gave me new revelation, Brother August. Red flag. God doesn't give new revelation today. The only revelation that you receive today is from that book you're holding in your hand. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
That's the only revelation you should be looking into today. If anybody comes to you and says, God gave me new revelation, red flag, Deuteronomy 18, you're a false prophet. God doesn't give no modern day revelations today. I might even offend a few of you here. Even Beth Moore says that God gives her special audible, like you're hearing my voice audibly. God gives her a special audible revelation. No, he does not. That contradicts the word of God. The moment the canon of scripture was closed out in the book of Revelation, God does not give any further revelation anymore. I had a guy send me a friend request on Facebook, calls himself Apostle so-and-so. I said, you're not an apostle. He says, why would you say that? I said, were you an eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to Acts chapter number 1? He says, no, you're not an apostle. Because based on Acts chapter 1 verses 24 through 27, in order for you to qualify as an apostle is that you must have been there 2,000 years ago to see the resurrected, glorified Christ. And I know no one today was there 2,000 years ago. Are there any modern day prophets today? No. In order to be a prophet, you must receive special revelation from God and hear the voice of God audibly. Is that going on today? And if you claim it is, lay off the anchovies on your pizza. Amen? There are no modern day prophets. There are no modern day apostles. But you put on Christian TV today, Apostle so-and-so is about to deliver God's revelation to you. Prophet so-and-so is about to deliver special revelation to you. Listen, if you're going to watch Christian TV, man, you better have your spiritual ears on. Christian TV, Christian radio, you better put those spiritual ears on, man. It's like eating watermelon. You eat the melon, but spit the stinking seeds out. Amen? You got to be careful today, folks. You got to be careful what type of doctrine that you are receiving today. The apostle wants to show that the message and not the messenger is the utmost importance. When somebody is making it all about them and not about Jesus Christ, red flag. That's what cults do. That's what the leaders of cults do. They make the message about them. It's all about them, their accomplishments, what they've done. And it's not about the Lord Jesus Christ. They want the preeminence. They want all the worship. When the messenger wants to make it all about him or her, a red flag, ladies and gentlemen, should be going off in your head. When they say salvation comes from their church or organization, listen, run for the hills. Again, man, they're all over Facebook, Brother John. They're all over Facebook. I had this Asian guy send me, again, another Facebook friend request. And I like to check these guys out to make sure they're on the up and up, you know. And I didn't see anything that indicated a red flag, so okay, I accepted his friend request. 2 minutes later, listen, if you accept a friend request on Facebook and 2 minutes later they're already messaging you, unfriend them. Unfriend them. He gets back to me. He says, oh, you need to join my church, sir, because salvation only comes through my church. That's what he said. Salvation only comes through my church. I said, sir, you're a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Romans 3:4. I said, sir, you're a liar. Salvation only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus did not say he was one of many ways. He said, I am the only way. Peter said of Jesus in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation in a pope. There's no salvation in a Catholic priest. There's no salvation in a pastor. There's no salvation in some religious organization. There's only salvation in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Amen. I even had a messianic so-called Jew tell me one time, well, August, I don't believe this. I think you do. I don't believe this, Bob. If a rabbi who doesn't trust in Jesus as their savior, but he's doing all these wonderful, nice things. He's doing all these good works. He's keeping the Torah. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's not hurting anybody. Wouldn't there be a chance that that rabbi would go to heaven? I said, no. Because he's trusting in his works rather than what Jesus Christ has already done for him on the cross. He said, well, I don't really believe that, August. But guess what? Today, that's exactly what he believes. He's renounced Christianity. He's renounced Jesus as his Savior and Messiah. And now he's involved in a traditional Jewish synagogue in which he rejects Jesus straight out. Listen, if a Jew wants to go to heaven, I don't care if you call yourself a rabbi or not. If a Jew wants to go to heaven, that Jew must go through Jesus Christ. If a Gentile wants to go to heaven, I don't care what title he has. If a Gentile wants to go to heaven, that Gentile must go through Jesus Christ. If a Jew dies outside of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, that Jew will die and go to hell. If a Gentile dies outside of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, that Gentile will die and go to hell. Again, you got to watch out what's going on out there today, ladies and gentlemen. These people, they come to you like wolves in sheep's clothing. Amen. That's what they do. They come to you like wolves in sheep's clothing. Let me just fast forward it because we only have a couple of minutes left here. But I was absolutely appalled at what the Mormons are doing. You know what the Mormons are doing? You may have heard of this ritual that they do. It's called the baptism of the dead. You know what they're doing? These guys are going to the graves of Jewish Holocaust victims, performing these ceremonies. They've done it with Anne Frank's grave. They're not allowed to do it with celebrities and all that other stuff, but they'll go to the graves of Jewish Holocaust victims. They'll perform this ceremony in front of them and then convert them in the afterlife to become Mormons. How despicable is that? So in other words, they can go to the grave of your departed mom, departed dad, or any other family member, perform a ceremony in front of their grave, and quote unquote, convert your loved ones to Mormonism. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a doctrine that's right from the very pits of hell. You know who broke this news story? The Times of Israel. Even though we're familiar with what they do, the Times of Israel, a secular Israeli news website, broke this story. That they are performing proxy baptisms at the graves of Jewish Holocaust victims. What are the Mormons? The so-called Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Did not Paul say, though we or an angel preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have heard, let him be what? The founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, claimed he received a visit from the angel Moroni to go to Upper State, New York, to dig up these golden plates in which he would translate to what they have today, the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is not the Word of God. There's not even one prophecy in the Book of Mormon. But the Book of Mormon replaces the Bible. Because the Bible's too corrupt. So now the Book of Mormon replaces the Bible. Mormonism replaces Christianity today. That's why they call themselves Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Joseph Smith is accursed and no doubt burning in hell. Yeah. Well, what about Islam? Muhammad claimed that the angel Gabriel visited him, gave him this special revelation to stop what is today Islam, Muhammad, is cursed. And anyone like him claiming to receive so-called special revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a doctrine that is right from the very pits of hell. And what do the Mormons believe today? That one day they'll become little gods. One day they'll rule their own universe. People worshiping them. There's a saying in Mormonism that goes this way. As man is, God once was. As God is, one day man will be. We're all going to become little gods. Really? You're swallowing the life Satan. Genesis 3:5. Oh, God knows the moment you eat of that forbidden fruit, you will be as what? You'll become gods, knowing good and evil. I'm going to have to close right there because we're out of time. But folks, I'm going to close with this thought right here. In the last days in which you and I live today, we must be studying this book. Amen? We must be in the Bible every single day. Listen, that's not an option for you and I. Amen. It's a mandate. We need to be in the scriptures every single day to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the reason why Christians don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth is because they're not in the scriptures. In the last days in which we live today, let's be astute students of the Bible. Let's be studiers of God's word. Let's be praying people. Let's be soul winning people. Amen. And let's continue to win precious souls to Jesus Christ with the true gospel of the Bible. The death, burial, and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the message we need to be preaching today. Not just your pastor preaching that, you as well. We need to propagate that message in these very last days in which we live. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for allowing me, Lord, to teach this message. I pray that you bless our service next hour. And may you be glorified in everything that's said and done now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.